Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report. It's Friday, jobs reporting day. This is a report, 12 o'clock every day I do this. It's Brett Rosenthal coming at you. This is a show about investing in the stock market through the millennial lens. Armor Report stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. To us, it begins and ends with risk management in the world we live in today. So when it comes to investing, you manage your risk first, you capture upside second. That's what we do on this trading desk. This is a live trading desk. I'm sharing information directly off the desk that we're using every day in our own portfolios. And it's a combination of traditional fundamental analysis, which still has a lot of validity, but with the use of millennial execution tools. It's a millennial market. It's not your dad's market. You got to get used to it. So step one, we like to go over the top five indexes, where they are in the cycle from a risk-on, risk-off standpoint. Those of you who have been following me for a while know you can go to our website. It's rosenthalcapital.com. We have a real-time risk-on, risk-off monitor. Try to update that as quick as possible. That tells you when we've added risk or subtracted risk. I was tweeting to you yesterday after 3:30 letting you know that the strategies were allowing us to take risk in the S&P, the Dow, the small cap and the mid cap indexes. So four of the five indexes were risk on. The exception was the triple Qs. We were not allowed to buy that index. And now look at today's action. That's called alpha right there, my friends. Triple Qs are down the most. They had the biggest exposure to Apple. The algorithm would not let us get long assets into Apple's earnings that have a big exposure to Apple. We highlighted on Twitter, which is hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report, that we were focusing instead on FDN, which is the big cap internet stocks. FDN's up 0.25% right now. The triple Qs are down 1.25%. That's why you're listening to me. You're looking for nuggets like that. You're looking to use algorithms to help you manage your risk. So if you want market exposure, what the algorithm said yesterday was, don't buy NASDAQ 100. Don't buy assets that have a big exposure to Apple in front of the number. But you can own big cap tech that doesn't have Apple in it, and that was FDN. Those stocks have already been destroyed, right? So this whole process of millennial execution is to use weakness to get long groups, indexes, and stocks that we like that are on our whiteboard and avoid indexes, groups, and stocks that we like that are on our whiteboard when risk is too high. So I really hope you guys have been picking up what I'm laying down here, because it's a very easy process. It doesn't require an MIT education to build the algorithms we're building. These are common sense algorithms that are focused on getting us on the right side of probabilities and statistics. And that's why they're right over and over and over again. It's not because of some quantum physics setup, some black box thing that, you know, happens to be a crystal ball today and is going to blow up tomorrow, like long-term capital management. Anybody know that story? If you don't, Google it, read the story, read the book. It's important. We're not talking about algorithms like that. We're talking about assessing risk and creating a proprietary equation. When the reward is big enough for the risk we're taking, we put capital to work. If that's not the case, then we husband cash, protect capital, wait for another entry point. So there's the alpha generation of millennial execution tools like algorithms laid out for you chapter and verse. It's the simplest way to realize how algorithms can help you and why you need this tool in your basket, in your quiver, as it were. Avoid the triple Qs yesterday. Instead, if you have a buying itch, buy FDN, the big cap internet stocks. FDN's up on the day, 0.25%. Triple Qs are down 1.25%. Let's go to the news stories. How does a big jobs number affect our market stance? Well, the only piece of fundamental news that really matters to me as I'm trading is what the Fed's doing and whether they're adding or reducing liquidity. Everything else is noise. I don't care what Trump is doing with China. It really doesn't matter for more than a day or two. You get sometimes it's more than an hour or two. You get a quote good story. It lasts, market pops for an hour and then rolls over, breaks down. And the reason for that is the Fed's reducing liquidity. So whenever we get news stories that suggest a stronger economy, that's ultimately negative for the market, because that just allows the Fed to continue to raise rates and reduce liquidity, and reduced liquidity kills a bull market. Please don't confuse your success investing in the last decade with, no offense or anything, but brilliance on your part. Please don't confuse that. That ego will get in the way of you protecting your capital now. For 10 years, the Fed and central banks around the world were dramatically adding liquidity. So whatever you bought, if it was a decent company, the stock was going higher because the Fed was adding liquidity. Now we're in a world where the Fed's reducing liquidity, and you better know what you're doing. Don't keep closing your eyes and putting money to work and say, I'm averaging down. If the Fed keeps reducing liquidity, you are going to suffer. And all of the goodwill you've created in your portfolio from a decade of largesse from all of the central banks is going to be eroded faster than you could say lickety split. Markets always go down faster than they go up. Just evidence, Exhibit A, October. Is that a shot across the bow? It's telling us the markets are turning down, or is that just a great buying opportunity? That's what we're dealing with today on my trading desk. And I am, to be honest with you, I'm flip-flopping. I'm not making the greatest trades at the moment because I have just a conflicting view. First of all, I told you all yesterday I was along the triple Qs in the morning for a day trade, and it was just beautiful. It ran right up to the close and we sold it out, booked our profit, and now the Qs are down 1.25%. So I've got buy signals on 4 of the 5 indexes. But I've got to be honest with you guys. I don't like this entry point. It makes me very uncomfortable. So I have to look into my portfolio and determine how much risk am I really willing to carry overnight. And it's not a lot. Now, that's just me. You all have to make your own risk assessments and your own decisions. But I came into the day with a lot of risk on for me, right? Because I don't really want to carry any risk. When the market gets whacked like it does in the month of October, I think that there needs to be a much better bottom that sets up. And so I don't think that I should be out there aggressively putting money to work, even though I have 4 of the 5 indexes telling me there's a risk on opportunity here. I still have to look at the overall setup and say, well, okay, I see it. I see it's a possible risk on opportunity. Why? Because we had a big sell-off in October. So big sell-offs set up opportunities. But at the same time, if we go back and look at 2008 on our SPY long-only strategy, it gets long 5 times during the year, loses money every time. Let's don't get carried away with algorithms thinking that they're a crystal ball and they work 100% of the time. No, they do not. We still have to think. It's up to us to determine how big our position should be when we get a risk on entry. And right now, that decision for me is very small. And let me tell you the biggest reason why. And actually, as we're having this conversation, I have no exposure right now on the indexes based on how they've traded this morning. I do not like the action, and I've stepped away from the indexes, booking what is a small profit across the board in my investments from the last couple of days. Now, I might have exposure again at the end of the day to a certain extent, depending on how we end up the day. But my finger is on the trigger on this risk on entry signal because of rule number 4 on my list of investing rules that I'm going to pass on to my children. I have a 5-year-old son, a 2-year-old daughter, and I'm literally writing a book for them on how to manage money. And when it comes to equity investing, should they ever want to get into this business and, you know, just manage their own capital, I would tell them rule number 4, grab a pen and a piece of paper and write this down. This is going to save you a lot of money over your lifetime as an investor. If the 50-day moving average and the 200-day moving average of the big indexes, let's just look at the S&P right now, if they're in a downtrend, risk is at its highest when both moving averages are in downtrends at the same time. That is when your risk is at its peak. So even if we get an algorithmic risk on entry, if I see that the 50 and the 200 day are headed south, I take small positions and I have my finger on the trigger if things don't work. Clearly, today's reversal from this morning shows me things aren't working, and that's why I'm out of the market trades right now, even though our algorithm is still in. I'm not willing to sit on these trades intraday if it's ugly like this, because in a world where the 50 and the 200-day are in downtrends, ugly turns into disastrous in a very short period of time. So I posted on Twitter, please take a minute to go to the Twitter page, take a look at my Twitter feed, hashtag Armor Report, ARMR Report, or at Brett Rosenthal. I just posted a chart of the S&P 500 ETF SPY. You'll see that we've got 8 days in a row now where the 50-day moving average and the 200-day moving average are in downtrends. Now, you could say to me that's negligible downtrend. The S&P is not really down. It's only losing a couple points each day. Hey, man, I don't make up these rules. These things just work. I've been doing this 30 years. You want to quibble? Go ahead and quibble. I'm about putting money to work when risk and reward is at its highest. It's a live trading desk, so I'm hanging up on people right now. I don't want to talk to you, so I can talk to you. This is very important. Stay focused. We've got 17 days where the 50-day moving average is in a downtrend for the S&P, and now we've got 8 days where the 200-day is in a downtrend. That's a dangerous market. Will I play? Yes, I'll be there as long as I keep getting paid and the market behavior, the market action during the day is acceptable. But when the action is not acceptable and we're getting a washout in a major index like the triple Q's down 1.25%, that I'm going to step aside for a bit and I'm going to see how this day progresses. I might be back later today. I might carry some over the weekend. But I do not like a market where the 50 and the 200-day are in downtrends. And I'll be honest with you. You heard it here first. Okay, today's the first episode where I'm going to make this comment. I'm looking for short opportunities. I haven't done that in a long time. I don't like to do that in the face of a risk-on-buy signal for our indexes. So I'm not shorting today. But you better believe that if we get stopped out of this trade, I'll be looking to put shorts out. And if we rally up here and start to build a top right underneath the 200-day moving average, I'll be looking to put shorts out, maybe buying puts on the market. Depends where they're priced. The S&P puts have been priced pretty good, especially on rally days. So we'll see. If it rallies up, but I don't like the action, I might put out puts. There's many different ways to put shorts out. And you know, for an investor, if you've got a portfolio of stocks and we're getting this type of negative behavior overall in the market, then using index puts is a good way to protect your long positions. So not doing it yet, but very cautious in today's market. I don't like the action. Okay. I did say, don't forget the other piece of news today that's pulling the market down is Apple. So the Apple announcement was no good. And I heard today that's the first time that we're going to have a downtrend in unit sales of Apple iPhones and all different types of those phones. So it's been a long time in coming. We're getting a slowdown there, and that's a huge part of the market. So if Apple really succumbs to the sell-off, right now it's down 6.5%. It might recover by the end of the day, but if it succumbs to the sell-in, then the market really almost has no opportunity to go up. And we've been in a market where the 50 and the 200-day have been in downtrends for 8 days now. That's just bad news. So be advised, be careful in this market. I said in the title of this particular podcast, Second Chance at GDX and MJ. That's the only those are the only investments in my portfolio right now. GDX and MJ. I've got a half of my position size on an MJ. So I've still got buying power, and I'd like to buy more on weakness. I've been telling you guys about the cannabis trade now. We've been on it since day one, August 15th, with the algorithm. We had a huge run. We booked profits on the run that allowed us to reposition back down near the original entry point, the 28, 29 area. I think it's so rare you get a second shot at a watershed event. It's so rare. And if this market wasn't imploding, you would not see these stocks trading at these prices again after what Constellation Brands has done to put $4 billion into Canopy. The only reason you're getting a shot at these names down here is that the market's imploding and people are looking for places to raise cash and book profits. So a weak stock market is a brilliant way to find great investments. Cannabis is going to be a place to have money for a long time to come. We had recent buy signals on some of our favorite names. I'm not buying individual names right now because I don't like the whole market, and so I think there's a lot of danger out there. But GWPH, one of our favorites, company got approval yesterday to start selling medical. Their FDA-approved drug to treat epilepsy. It's a breakthrough. It's the first drug of its kind. And Zogenix, ZGNX, is developing the same type of a drug. So those two stocks ran together yesterday, have a risk-on entry point. I'm just not buying those stocks right now, even though we had a risk-on entry point in biotechs too. I'm just not taking that kind of risk with the 50 and the 200-day in downtrends. I need to see more constructive market before I put more capital to work in something as aggressive as that. But that's just me, guys. That's just my risk tolerance. If you've got a higher risk tolerance, those names should be in the portfolio. with stops. So I'm going to say it again. You know, I'm trying to buy and build a portfolio of marijuana stocks on weakness. I'm doing research in the space. Now's the time to do your research. The markets are getting whacked. These stocks have come down. Find out the companies that you want to own that you think have the best potential long term and buy them on weakness. I'm not buying my whole position, though, because I think this market's going lower. And so I'm just buying a piece so that I have opportunities to buy more as it comes in and really double and triple the position when I get a risk on entry point. Okay, let's switch over to precious metals. I talked about it yesterday. I got to pound the table again today. Look, it's a risk-reward trade for me, GDX. First of all, gold and silver are outperforming the mining companies right now, which is usually a good sign, and it leads to higher prices in the mining companies. But GDX is really set up now to rock and roll. I don't know if it's going to do it or not, right? I mean, for all I know, this will break down and be a loser. And that's okay. I'll book my loss and I'll move on. I'll have a stop. That's the way it goes. But if we're right on this entry point in GDX, there is a lot of money that can be made in a 3 to 6 month window. These stocks can easily jump 50%, maybe 100%. When they get going, they run. So I'm always got my eye out for them. And what we have here is a clear bottom put in at $19 a share on GDX with two gap ups at that price. So there's real demand. And I also love that from a stop standpoint. If it closes back below there, I'm done with this trade, right? So it's 1946 right now. You probably have 56 cents worth of risk in the stock for my money. But why is it compelling to me? Well, I'll tell you. If there is a breakthrough in trade with China, the single biggest winner in that type of a deal possible, it ends up being precious metals prices. A deal with China means the U.S. dollar goes down in value and the renminbi goes up in value. And when that happens, gold and silver go up and the mining stocks take off. And they've been kept down all year, particularly because of this trade dispute. So we have these risk on entry points, algorithmic entry points, confirmation that 19 is a temporary low at least, and now rumblings that there may be some type of a trade negotiation with China. If that ever happens, these stocks are going to be on fire. Oh, and let me just mention that the end of the year is usually best for these stocks. They usually do well in November, December. That's just how they trade. So it's all coming together to make the risk worth the reward with a stop that makes sense to me. Those are my favorite trades. As we're talking, the equity markets are going lower. It's just a negative scene right now, guys. Be careful. Be careful. If it takes out these lows, can't get any traction. I don't know if it would be worth it to hold it over the weekend. I really don't. Risk just seems too high to me. Let's take a look at our algorithms. Where will we get stopped out on this thing? Well, I've been writing on Twitter that 272.42 was a big number. You know, and so when we dropped below it, that's when I cut bait on these positions on my S&P position where it 271.37 now. So 272.40, I was telling you guys that was a key area. So when it broke below it, I stepped out. Now we're a dollar cheaper. And we'll be completely gone at 270. Don't forget, if you're following me on Twitter, right, Armor Report, hashtag Armor Report, you know over the last couple of days I've been highlighting that the 270 area is incredibly important on the S&P. if we breach that 270 again, it's going to be a test of the lows, and it could be an ugly test of the lows. You know, guys, we're used to tests of the low when the 200-day moving average has been in an uptrend, when the 50-day has been in an uptrend. And so we get those tests, and wow, there's great buying opportunities. The market rockets higher because we had a 10-year bull market, give or take. All right, call it a 5-year if you want. We had a period of time where the Fed was adding liquidity. So even at the beginning of this year, when we had that first collapse off of the top in January, it drove the market down to an uptrending 200-day moving average. So the overwhelming trend was still intact. And that's why you had some great reversals right down there after a real serious selling. This time around, we've cratered below that key 200-day moving average, and that average has now rolled over and is heading south. That is dangerous. Be advised. So the algorithms say to be long, which means there could be some more rally in here. Maybe the market tries to get back above the 200-day moving average, possible. But experience tells us that this is the most dangerous time. So position accordingly. I haven't really talked much about small caps, mid caps. I mean, they gave us buy signals. Mid cap gave us a buy signal. It's been, you know, back on the 31st and then yesterday, the small caps. But these are massive downtrends, and typically the first buy signal off the downtrend is not a winner. Not when the downtrend is this aggressive with the 50 and the 200-day headed south. So I haven't even entertained those in my portfolio, even though I am admitting that the algorithm says to be long there. But for the risk, I'm not willing to take that risk when the 50 and the 200-day are headed south. So the 50 and the 200-day are down on the S&P, SPY, down together on the small caps, IWM, down together on the mid caps, MDY. And the only, I think the only index that still has an uptrending 200-day, believe it or not, is the triple Qs, which don't even have a buy signal right now. We don't even have a risk on signal in the Qs. It's, you know, algorithms say stay in cash there. Very strange market. A lot of cross currents. But every now and then, even in a market like that, you can find some opportunities, and that's what I see in MJ and GDX right now. Okay? So, guys, I want you to have a great weekend. Don't think about this stuff over the weekend. Just enjoy yourself. Time with family. That's what I'm going to do. And we'll come back at it again on Monday. And what I'll leave you with is just the thought. At the end of the day here, look at your portfolio. If you want to carry positions, make sure it matches up to your risk tolerance, because risk is high right now. And I know that argues 4 out of the 5 algorithms say the market's going up. Okay, so you don't have to be 100% cash. Have some capital to work. But just realize where we are right now in the market. It's a dangerous time. And risk manage accordingly. Okay? You all have a great weekend. Have a safe day of trading. I look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you so much for spending your time listening to these podcasts. They do as much for me as I hope they're doing for you.